Hey everyone, welcome. So I've already started recording on Zoom and we are also live streaming on YouTube. Welcome everyone. I hope everyone is doing well. We're going to get started in about 5 more minutes, so just hold tight. If you have any questions, you can unmute. Feel free to unmute and ask me. I'm happy to try to answer any questions you might have. Hope everyone's staying healthy, doing well. Fingers crossed. So good to see everyone. Not that I can see most of you because your video's off, but I see your names. I'm very excited. I'm staying healthy, doing well. So for those of you just joining us, we will get started momentarily. We got about 5 more minutes till 7, so just hold tight. I am here. If you have any questions, feel free to unmute yourself. I'm happy to chat or answer questions while we're waiting for class to start. Again, I hope you all are doing well in these crazy times. For those of you who are already here, hopefully you can hear me. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me, please. Excellent. Good. Okay. I feel like every time I am on Zoom or YouTube or any of this virtual stuff, it's a constant learning process. So let me know if something isn't correct or going well, and I'll try my best to rectify that situation. But we'll get started in just a few more minutes. Those of you joining us on YouTube, welcome. Again, we're going to start in just a couple more minutes. I'm glad you're here. Whether you are on YouTube or joining us on Zoom, feel free to use the chat box in either of those platforms. I am monitoring both. If you have questions or comments, feel free to use those chat boxes. Again, on either YouTube or Zoom. I said I'm monitoring it. Here I have a chat that I didn't see. Okay. I got a message from Gary out there having tablet issues. I'm glad that you can see and hear us. I'm sorry that you can't communicate, though. You can always email me. I won't be monitoring my email during this, but you can always email me at this address, and I always forget it. Hang on. Okay. So, yes, you can contact me at program.db@kadampacenter.org. Again, I won't be monitoring it right now, but I can always try to answer questions later or send those questions to the instructor. Hope everyone's having a good summer so far, as well as can be expected right now. Staying cool. It's been really hot lately. Mm-hmm. All right, and welcome to Discovering Buddhism. We are going to get started. I'm showing that it's 7 o'clock, so welcome everyone officially. My name is Linda Saw, and I am the program assistant. Robbie Watkins will be our instructor for this module, and this module is Discovering Buddhism, module number 11. So we are making a lot of progress in this two-year series of Discovering Buddhism, this two-year course. Very exciting. We're coming down to the end of it. Of course, you can join us either by way of Zoom or YouTube, if you prefer that method. Either way, as I was mentioning before, feel free to type into the chat box of either of those platforms. I will be monitoring both of those platforms throughout the session tonight. And speaking of sessions tonight, this is one of six. So there are six classes in this Discovering Buddhism module, Transforming Problems. And if you want to find the information, I always do an about this module, and it can be found on the Kadampa Center website at kadampa-center.org. And then if you go to spiritual programs across the top, and then Discovering Buddhism materials, just scroll down, you'll see a list of readings, and then keep scrolling down specifically to Transforming Problems. And I'll go ahead and share my screen so you see what that document looks like. Let's see here. Where did it go? I had it up and now it's not there. Okay, I will share that later then. Sorry about that. And so that information is there. All of the online readings, as well as on the back page, there is the completion card. So if you're working towards the Discovering Buddhism certificate for the Kadampa Center, make sure you are tracking all of your readings and any other assignments like meditations or other practices that might be assigned throughout the course. And then at the end, you can email that to me at that program.db@kadampacenter.org. Hi, I just saw some dog. Karen's dog. I love seeing the pets on this virtual world. So much fun. And so anyway, for other information that is happening at Kadampa Center, it's always, and there's a kitty cat. I do love seeing the animals. Oh my goodness. So cute. That's great. And so going to the Kadampa Center website, of course, it's kadampa-center.org, checking out all the programs. There's so much going on virtually right now. There's plenty to do almost every single day of the week. So please see the website for more information. And, of course, the calendar is a great resource to use. Robbie, I think those are all of the announcements that I have. Okay. Before we get started, are there any questions from anyone? You can not only use the chat box, but you can, kind of wave and I'll try to find you. You can unmute yourself and ask questions. If you have questions, though, I would recommend putting them in the chat box and I will call on you when there's an appropriate time to do so. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Robbie unless there are any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. Am I on?
You are on.
Okay, great. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome. As Linda said, this is the 11th module in the Discovering Buddhism series. We're scheduled for 6 Monday nights. And I think just because I know people are already spending lots of time sitting in front of their computers and doing lots of Zoom meetings, so the dynamic is a little different. And we're doing this after people have been on their computers most of the day. I think the classes are going to wind up being about an hour each. So it'll be something short and sweet each week. This is a wonderful topic, and it's incredibly appropriate to this time. Is there anyone out there who's having any problems these days? If everybody says no, we'll just cancel the class, okay? This is Transforming Problems. I wanted to follow up on one thing Linda said. Yeah, if you're not doing so, please check out the Kadampa Center website, because it's just amazing what Donna Cease and her team of people have got going. It's a really vibrant spiritual practice. And if you haven't seen it, check out the annual report also, which is gives you a good overview of everything that Kadampa Center's been doing the past year. And that's one of the banners that rotates across the homepage on Kadampa Center. You just have to click on that. Let's see, do we have anyone who is, this is their first Discovering Buddhism class, who's not done any of the other modules? I think we got one. Okay, great. Do we have any? I've got a couple of people. Okay, that's fine. I don't think you have. Do we have anybody who's brand new to Buddhism, who's never been to Kadampa Center or to any Buddhist courses before? Okay. And I don't think I've ever taught this module before. If I have, it's been so long ago that I've forgotten it, because I've been doing Discovering Buddhism for a long time now. I usually teach mind and mental factors and emptiness and a couple of the other ones. So this is good for me, because I always learn a lot when I'm leading one of these modules. Tonight's going to be mainly introductory, talking about the material we'll be covering. Probably not a lot of time for questions tonight, but all the other classes, the following 5 sessions, there will be time for questions if you can put those into the chat box. So, Linda, are we going to be able to bring up the prayers to read together?
Yes, that I did see when I brought up screen share. So hold okay. on 1 second.
So we always start with some prayers to prepare our minds, so we get the most benefit from the discussion that's to follow. Okay, these are listed as the Sunday morning prayers, but we're going to do them on Monday night. And let's
disregard the title.
Yeah. Okay. I think, let's see, we'll start with taking refuge and generating bodhicitta. I think we found it works best if everybody except myself mutes yourself, because of the time lag, it gets very confusing. So you can just read along with me, but put yourself on mute for the prayers. So we'll start with refuge and generating bodhicitta 3 times together in English. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. Now, I've got the right margin of the 4 immeasurables cut off.
Yeah. I'll
don't just
know.
Wing it, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'll I don't know what's happening.
Okay. I'll read the 4 immeasurables in English together 3 times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment and friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Okay, and let's see, do we have a mandala offering on here? Looks like we don't. And there's a, go back, was there one at the beginning?
I don't think so, Robbie, but I can get that for next week.
Yeah,
so we have
okay.
It from here on
next
out.
Week we'll do the mandala offering.
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem, thank you. Okay, and let's just sit quietly for a moment and do a little bit of meditation. If I know a lot of us, our minds are a little frazzled these days. Things are changing at a pace we can hardly keep up with, but that's okay. So if you're sitting in a chair at home, sit with a nice straight back. If you're sitting on the floor, sit on the front of your cushion. Eyes lightly closed. Head straight on your shoulders, mouth lightly closed, lips slightly touching, shoulders down and a little bit back so that your chest is a little bit open, upper arms away from the sides of your body, and feet flat on the floor. Check now and identify any sources of tension or discomfort and address those now so they're not a problem during the meditation. And we begin by taking three deep breaths from the abdomen. The abdomen expanding on the in-breath and contracting towards our spine on the out-breath. Do that three times, deep and slow. And now allow your breath to return to its normal pattern. And take a moment and set your motivation, the same motivation that we gave sound to in the prayers, that I am doing this meditation to develop my mind so that I may be of greater benefit to all sentient beings. And having set our motivation, we now do a simple concentration meditation. The mind, the awareness, and the physical sensation of breath moving in and out through our nostrils. Nothing more, nothing less than that. Just the movement of the air through the openings of our nose at the nostrils. Direct experience. Anytime your mind wanders off to another object, just set that aside and come back to the breath over and over again. And we can end our meditation with a brief dedication. We acknowledge that we've done something positive just by sitting quietly for a few minutes and developing our ability to concentrate. And we think, may that positive imprint on our mind stream not be wasted, but may it ripen in a way to benefit all sentient beings. You can relax your concentration. Okay. This module is entitled Transforming Problems. This is, we'll be studying a section of the Buddhist teachings that in Tibetan are referred to as Lojong. And that's one word. It's spelled L-O-J-O-N-G. Those short syllables tell you that it's a Tibetan word, Lojong. Those are the teachings in this area that have come down from the Buddha and his various disciples. And it's not to be confused with another area of teaching called Lo Rig, which we discuss in one of the other modules, L-O-R-I-G. Lo Rig is mind and mental factors. Lojong is typically translated as mind training. Lo refers to mind. Another word that's used, you know, the translations on these things are always a subject of great debate. Another translation of the syllable lo, L-O, is attitude. Okay, mind or attitude. Jong, J-O-N-G, is typically translated as training, but it can also be translated as cleansing, okay? So what we're doing with these teachings are we are cleansing our mind of negative thoughts, and we are training it in positive thoughts. So the question is, what qualifies as a negative thought? What qualifies as a positive thought? A negative thought is anything that causes me to suffer. A positive thought is anything that makes me happy. So we're cleansing our mind of the thoughts that cause us to suffer, and we're replacing them with thoughts that make us happy. Okay? We're not, when we talk about transforming problems, which is the name of the module, we're not talking about magically changing what's out there, okay? This is, you'll not learn how to make the COVID virus go away in this course. You'll not learn how to transform it into something else. But you will, I think, be given some tools to change how your mind relates to it. So this is really practical everyday Buddhism. You know, it's similar to what is taught in Western psychology in cognitive behavioral therapy. A lot of other attitudes, it's about changing our thought processes. And it's something we can use right now. You know, we don't have to be completely enlightened, completely wise, and completely compassionate to use the Lojong teachings. They're to use right now in our everyday life. When we become enlightened, when we become a Buddha, the Buddha doesn't have to transform problems because the Buddha doesn't have any problems. The Buddha doesn't have any negative thoughts. So these teachings are basically irrelevant to an enlightened being. They are for those of us who are on the path, gradually, sometimes it seems impossibly slowly, moving towards enlightenment on our own. So these are very practical, everyday teachings. Lojong. Typically translated as mind training. It could be mind cleansing, attitude training. Another term that you'll use is thought transformation. Thought transformation, mind training are the same thing. Those are all the Buddha's teachings on Lojong. So that's the subject of this 6 weeks. Usually I say, I start and I say that the readings for the module are interesting, but not real relevant. This module, I'm going to say half of its opposite. They are very interesting and they are completely relevant. the three readings, one by His Holiness the Dalai Lama and two by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, are completely relevant and contain all the material that we'll be discussing in this module. So make sure you get the three Discovering Buddhism readings. Those are the only required readings, and it's not very long. It's a total of 25 pages. If you want to read something beyond these, I'm going to recommend, it's not on here, but it's been on lots of the other modules, a book called A Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life by Master Shantideva, Shantideva. I think a lot of people are familiar with that. Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life by Shantideva. There are lots of different translations, and I haven't come across a bad one. Unlike a lot of the, it's very poetic. It's a very fun text to read. And in particular, the fourth chapter, which is the one we talk about over and over again, which is the one on developing patience and cleansing our mind of anger, is a step-by-step guide to thought transformation or mind training when it comes to that particular negative thought. So if you want to read a little bit more, get familiar with the fourth chapter of Shantideva, because it's something that you'll hear referred to over and over again. There are also two really core texts in the Galupa tradition, which we're part of, and the Kadampa tradition on thought transformation. The first one is called the Eight Verses of Thought Transformation, and that's in the readings. It's His Holiness, the first reading is His Holiness the Dalai Lama going through the 8 points. And that was written by Langri Tampo, L-A-N-G-R-I. You don't have to write this down because this is in the readings. T-A-N-P-O. I think that's it. Let me get some light. Yeah, T-A-N-P-A, Langri Tampa. And he lived about 1100. He wrote the Eight Verses of Thought Transformation. There's another text that you'll hear referred to a lot, and it's not in the readings, but it's the Seven Verses of Thought Transformation. And that's by Geshe Chikawa, C-H-E. K-A-W-A, C-H-E-K-A-W-A, Geshe Chikawa. And it's quite short. Both of these you can read in a couple minutes, but you can meditate on them for a lifetime. And that's not in the reading, the one by Geshe Chikawa, but you can find it easily on the internet. Just type in Seven Verses of Thought Transformation. That was written a little bit earlier, about 1000. And those are the two kind of core texts on this topic that we study over and over again. So the main part of this module is going to be going through the Eight Verses of Thought Transformation and talking briefly about them and what they mean and how they're relevant to us and how we can use them in our life. So let's begin. The first verse of the Eight Verses of Thought Transformation by Langri Tampa. In this translation, I've got two translations here. The one that His Holiness uses, hold on just a second, okay, is as follows. Determined to accomplish all success, I shall always practice holding dear all sentient beings who are more precious than wish-fulfilling gems. That's the first verse, the first verse of thought transformation. Determined to accomplish all success, I shall always practice holding dear all sentient beings who are more precious than wish-fulfilling gems. Okay, so what does that mean? Okay, determined to accomplish all success. I think it's pretty clear that he's not talking about worldly success, accumulating wealth, possessions, and such, but I think he means success on the spiritual path, success on our path to becoming enlightened. So determined to succeed on the path to enlightenment. Determined, which means really motivated, which means we've studied death and rebirth. We've studied death. We have a sense of suffering, and we have an understanding of karma. Okay, those three motivators, an understanding of the inevitability of death, the suffering nature of existence, and the law of karma. And we've talked about these in previous modules, so I'm not going to go into those. Having studied those deeply and thought about those and developed a sense of their reality, we are determined to achieve, if not enlightenment, at least nirvana. But he says all successes, so I think we can assume that he's referring to the state of enlightenment, the state of Buddhahood, which means a state of complete compassion, the wish that others be free of suffering, and a state of complete wisdom, of seeing reality directly. So determined to accomplish all success. Okay, so we're really motivated. That's the path we're following. So what do we do now?
Okay. Hey, Robbie.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do have the 8 verses of thought transformation that I can share on the screen if you would like me to.
Okay, go ahead and put the first one up because that'll help. Yeah. Or we go ahead and put it up and we'll read the first one together. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Determined to obtain the greatest possible benefit from all sentient beings. Okay, this is a little bit different translation, but again, they're all similar. Who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, I shall hold them more dear at all times. Okay. Okay. Determined. This sounds a little bit manipulative, and it's not really that. We're not trying to get the most benefit. Well, we're trying to get the benefit from others, but we're not using them, okay? But we're trying to succeed. We're trying to get the benefit. We're trying to become enlightened, okay? And all sentient beings. Sentient beings. Anybody know what a sentient being is? Can I ask questions? Can anybody respond?
Yes, you can ask questions. You can either put your answers in the chat box or just unmute yourself and answer the question.
Can anybody take a stab at that? Okay, Karen, a being with a mind, okay? That's correct. That's the way we think of it. A sentient being is a being with a mind, okay? Someone said living beings. Being with a mind and a body, okay? But there's all, so is the Buddha a sentient being? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Okay, a Buddha is not a sentient being, okay? This is, why is that? A Buddha has mind, definitely, and can assume any body possible, so why is the Buddha not considered a sentient being? A sentient being is a being with a mind and a body that is limited in its ability to help others, okay? Sometimes it's said that suffers, but it really implies a sense of not being enlightened. A sentient being is limited in its ability to help others. We can help others, but not to the degree that a Buddha can. So the Buddha is not technically a sentient being, okay? So here we're not talking about getting benefit from the Buddhas, but we're talking about getting benefit from living beings who are limited, who are not perfect, who get on our nerves, okay? Who make us see red when we read about them in the newspaper, okay? Langri Tampo is saying we can get incredible benefit from them. And not just from the ones we like or the ones who are nice to us, but all sentient beings, every sentient being, we can benefit from. Okay, so we'll talk in a little bit about what that means. Okay, so determined to achieve enlightenment and get the greatest possible benefit from all sentient beings who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel. A wish-fulfilling jewel is something, is a term you hear a lot, and it's talking about an imaginary jewel that can give you anything material that you desire. Okay, a great job, money, a house, a family, a jewel that can fulfill all your temporal wishes, okay? And we're saying, what Langri Tampo is saying here is that each sentient being, not just certain ones, but everyone is more precious to me, is of greater benefit to me than a wish-fulfilling jewel would be, okay? Understanding that, I hold them dear at all times. And sometimes that's translated as I cherish them. Lots of times you hear that word, cherish others. We're told to abandon our self-cherishing and cherish others instead. So we can say, I cherish them at all times. Okay? So determined to obtain the greatest benefit from all sentient beings who are more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, I will hold them dear at all times. What His Holiness Dalai Lama says, I shall, we'll turn the slide on. It's getting a little dark in here. Is that, yeah, okay. I shall always practice holding dear or cherishing all sentient beings who are more precious than wish-fulfilling gems. Okay? So why is every sentient being precious to me? Why is each sentient being precious to me? Anybody want to try putting an answer in the chat box for that? Why would we consider limited beings who may be difficult or unpleasant? Why are they precious to me? Okay, Michael says they all possess Buddha nature. Okay, they have the potential to become enlightened. Okay, good. What else? Anyone else want to take a stab? And Carrie says, as a bodhisattva, all beings are... Wait a minute, I'm getting a couple of answers. Oh, I'm getting a lot of answers. How do I go back and forth from one answer to another? Do I click on chat down here?
Yeah, and I can read them to you.
Okay.
So, let's see. Carrie says, as a bodhisattva, all beings are precious. And I added, they help us practice.
Yeah, okay.
And another, they give us a chance to practice. And we grow from their presence.
Yeah, okay. It would be, you know, I'm not, in Buddhism, you never say anything's impossible. But I think it would be very difficult to become enlightened if you were the only person in the room. Okay. Now, the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree with his own mind, but he had come into contact with many beings before that and developed his positive qualities. But if we never came into contact with another being, never understood how they were suffering in the same way that I'm suffering, it would be there would be much less motivation, I think, to become enlightened. So there are a lot of ways that others benefit us. One, if it's someone like, you know, Mother Teresa or our saintly grandmother, they're an example to us, okay? We can emulate them. Our teachers, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Geshe Gelug, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, just by observing them, we can aspire to develop the qualities that they have developed on the path, okay? Also, as I mentioned, you know, if we are friends and families, we see that they have problems, that they are unhappy at times, and we develop the wish to free them of their suffering. Okay, the bodhisattva aspiration, as someone mentioned, the wish to become enlightened so we can benefit others. I mean, you can't, if there were no others, there'd be no aspiration to become a bodhisattva, because a bodhisattva is all about benefiting others, the bodhisattva being a step on the path to enlightenment. And then, as mentioned, as someone mentioned, if we want to develop patience, you know, it's not going to be towards His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Okay, he doesn't push our buttons. Okay, he doesn't get on our nerves. It's going to be someone else who, not intentionally, but gives us the opportunity to develop those qualities we lack. Okay? We could not, you can't develop those qualities in a vacuum. Okay? There have to be other beings for you to develop the qualities of kindness, patience, generosity, compassion, the wish that others be free of suffering, love, the wish that others be happy. Okay? Those qualities cannot be developed in a vacuum by yourself. Okay? So other beings, both those we like and those we really dislike, are more valuable to us than a wish-fulfilling jewel, than any possible temporal, material pleasure or gain that a wish-fulfilling jewel could give us. Not just certain sentient beings, but every single one. Every single sentient being is helping us, if we think about it in this way, on our path to enlightenment. And it is impossible to achieve enlightenment without other sentient beings, limited though we may be. So that's an incredibly powerful attitude to develop. And it's not something that we just think about once and it's in our mind stream. Okay, it's something we have to practice. And all these verses of thought transformation are based on the nature of the mind, which we talked about in one of the first modules, that our mind is not fixed or solid in the way that we tend to think about it, but it is incredibly changeable and flexible. Okay, you know, there's a lot of talk in neurocognitive fields about, you know, mental flexibility, the mind's flexibility, how it can be changed, which is what Buddhism has been saying for 2,500 years. All we, you know, to use the terms that Venerable Ravina uses, all we have is a bunch of habits, okay? We just develop certain habits, some of which may make us happy, but a lot of them make us unhappy. And thought transformation is about discarding or cleansing our mind of the habits that make us unhappy and replacing those habits with habits that make us happy, okay? And we can do that because the mind has no fixed nature. It's not stuck. It's incredibly changeable. So we can, if you think about it, just this first verse, if we can start to see every sentient being is more precious than a wish-fulfilling gem, more precious than $1 million, our mind is completely different. And this is not a superficial process. It's, you know, it's not the power of positive thinking, okay? It's not being a Pollyanna. It means thinking deeply and meditating on these topics so that they really do change the way you relate to the world around you. But these are things that we can actually do right now in this lifetime. Okay, enlightenment seems so, at least for me, you know, it seems so far off. But these are things that in our practice now we can start to develop and see the results right away. Okay, so let me just read this one more time to make sure we're clear on the first one here. Determined to obtain the greatest possible benefit, the greatest possible benefit being enlightenment from all sentient beings, from all sentient beings. I want the most benefit for me to become enlightened from all sentient beings who are more precious, who I cherish more than a wish-fulfilling jewel. I shall hold them most dear at all times. Okay? I cherish every sentient being because I see both logically and intuitively and emotionally how I can benefit from them if I take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to me. So that's a huge change in the way we relate to the world around us. Okay. Any questions or comments before we do our final meditation and wind up?
Yeah, Robbie, Paul shared that mindset you just described provides a lot of hope.
Thank you. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Buddhism is not as gloomy as they make it out to be. It's not all about death and suffering. Yeah, it is very positive, these thoughts we want to develop. Yeah, that's a good comment.
And we do have one question as well.
Okay.
Okay. The question is, so this is from one of the students that's listening. If I volunteer to do something like build for Habitat for Humanity, it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone else asks me to do some work for them, I often feel resentful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems like I should only do the volunteer work that makes me happy and not the things that create resentment. Yes?
Well, you got to function in the world. We're in samsara, so it's not going to be all perfect. But I think we have to bring some wisdom to it. If an activity just causes our mind distress and anger and resentment, maybe it is better to set that aside for a while, okay, and work on your mind a little bit and then maybe come back to it. I mean, we can rationalize anything. We can use that as a way of getting out of doing the dishes and things like that. Oh, that doesn't make me happy, so I'm not going to do it. I think there's a middle way on that, like there is on everything. But first thing is what you're doing is to become aware of what your mind is doing, how your mind is responding. You say, oh, that's something I need to look at. Why am I so resentful about that? If I saw the person who is asking me to do that as more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel, I probably wouldn't mind as much doing it. Any other questions or comments?
Looks like that's it for now, Robbie.
Okay. Well, let's do another meditation. Okay. Begin by checking your posture. Straight back. Head straight on your shoulders and just review the posture. I think most of you are familiar with it. And take a moment and just place your mind on the breath, the movement of the breath in and out to settle your mind. Having settled our mind, we're going to begin the meditation. It's a very simple meditation. I want you to bring to mind, first, one by one, some of the people that you interacted with today. Your coworkers, family, people you like, people you don't like, people you're indifferent to. And so bring them to mind one by one. Imagine that they're in front of you. And imagine saying to each one, dependent on you, I can achieve enlightenment. Because of you, I can become enlightened. You are more valuable to me than $1 million. And it may seem a little artificial or not real, but see if you can generate some sense of that. And start with people that you're inclined to like initially, then move on to some others. That person's in front of you and say, because of you, I can achieve enlightenment. You are more valuable to me than $1 million. And you can bring to mind other people you know, friends, people who cause you problems, and say to each one of you, because of you, I can become enlightened. You are more precious to me than $1 million. And to finish the meditation, I want everyone to bring to mind in front of them, first, Joe Biden, and second, Donald Trump. And say to them, each one of them sincerely, because of you, I can become enlightened. Okay, Linda, if we can read the dedication prayers now.
Sure.
Can you bring those up?
Back up.
Yeah, thank you.
1 second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do Shanti Deva's dedication. We can read this together. But yeah, everybody else on mute because it makes a mess. May all sentient beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may these never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, or as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Okay, so during this week, I would like you to practice that attitude. Just think as you meet people during the day, because of you, I can become enlightened. You are incredibly precious to me. I'd like you to do that meditation 5 days out of the week and start the reading. Read the first article, the first the 8 verses of thought transformation. That's 11 pages. But that'll be the format for the class. We'll be going through these verses in that manner. And next week, same time, same place. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thank you, Robbie.
Just that one, you know, just that one thought is incredibly powerful. And that's just the first of 8 that we're going to be studying in this class. Okay. The first thing is everyone is more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel. Because if we do that, then generosity and love and patience arrive spontaneously. They're not effortful. Okay. So thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thank you very much, Robbie.
Stay
good
healthy.
Night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Good seeing you.
Yes. This was nice.
Good night.
Okay. Thank you, Linda.
Good night, Robbie. See you next week.